Buckle up. Here we go. 146, the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, we've seen this concept before, but in different ways. Shover adam es hachavas lechol hem ene gerogros bilvash lo yiskavim lo asos kli. A person is allowed to basically destroy a barrel for the sake of getting out the dried figs that are inside of it, or the pressed figs that are inside of it. The Gemara then, the Mishnah then says, v'ein nokvin megufa shel chavas divrei Rabbi Yehuda, but you're not allowed to, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to perforate the plug of a barrel, right? There's sort of like a place where you can take the contents out. So specifically for wine, he says you're not allowed to make a new hole, which is going to create a spout for this wine. The Chacham Matir, the Chacham says you're allowed to. V'lo yikvenu ben tzida, but you're not allowed to make a hole to the side of it. V'im ha'isa nekuva, if it was already made, if it already had a hole, lo yitena la shava, mipnei shum ha'mareach, you can't put wax on it because you're going to be over the isra of ha'mareach of smoothening. To put the wax over the hole. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Masa Belofni Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Ba'arav Amar Choshashni Lamechatas. Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai basically said that might be usher because a person did such a thing, presumably with the wax. The Gemara then says Amar Rabbi Oshia Lo Shano El Adrosos Lamevura Doslo. If it was actually pressed figs, so that's when we're talking about cutting off the top of the barrel. But if they were separated figs, so you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you're not allowed to cut the top of the barrel because the contents on the inside are separated. So presumably the issue here is because you're taking the knife for something you don't need the knife for. If you would open the barrel regularly for the separated dates, so you don't need a knife to separate the dates at all. And therefore you can't take the knife also for the sake of opening the barrel. If however they were pressed, then now you're going to need the knife also to separate the dates. So then you'd be, separate the figs. So then you'd be allowed to take the knife to open the barrel also. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why would that be the case? Maybe other mesachavet shel yain matis rosh masayif. You can cut the top of a barrel with the top of a wine barrel with a knife with a sword. You put it in front of the guests and don't worry about it. So the Gemara says, no. That's according to the Shita of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who hold normal, what we know as Muktzah laws, which is that you're allowed to take something even if it's not necessarily for its typical purpose. You're allowed to take that item for the sake of opening it on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Nechemiah, as we've seen before, says you're only allowed to take things which are for its purpose that have been designated for Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to take a sword, which doesn't necessarily just sit there for the sake of opening barrels. You can take a sword and open it up. Unless it was of pressed figs, and then you'd have to use the knife to separate the figs anyway, so you'd be allowed to take it and open the barrel with it in the first place. So Mora says, wait, umay duchke Rabbi Oshia look me mastiz kermine chamyo bedrusos, look me peradus rabbanon. Why is it that Rabbi Oshia felt the need to say his explanation of the Mishnah like Rabbi Nechemiah? Just explain it like the Rabbanon, which is how we paskin. So Amar Rav Masis and Kishisei. He had a problem with the Mishnah because the Mishnah said, my area detani grogros. Why did it say dried figs? List any peros, just list any other separated fruit. The fact that it said dried figs must mean that it's referring to Rabbi Nechemiah, who holds that you can only take a utensil to break the barrel if that utensil is needed also for the contents of the barrel. Elishma mina bedrusos, it must be talking about pressed figs. Okay, we don't pass like that anyway. Gemara then says, Tanya chayda one brisa tells us, chosol shagroros v'shal tamar matir mafkiya v'chosich. A person who has a basket of dried figs or dates, you're allowed to undo untie the knot and unbraid the basket and cut it open. So the Gemara says, "Tani eat up." Another brisa says, "Matir aval lamafkiv lo chosech." So another brisa says, "You can untie it, but you can't unweave it or unbraid it or cut it." So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha harabanan harabim nechemia." Same thing. The Tani Rabbi Nechemia Omer afilu tarvod vafilu talis vafilu sakin ein yitan elatzarach nashmish. And again, you're not allowed to use utensils which you would be using when you unbraid it or you cut it. You can't use those utensils unless those utensils are needed for what's inside of the basket. Same concept. So Gemara says, "Bang minei Rav Sheshet Esmeri mahul mivras chavisa bevortia b'shabbos." Can you make the spout of a barrel on Shabbos? Can you make it with a spear? So The Gemara says, I'm not 100% sure how to understand this, but lefisla kamachavin, do we see it as if you're creating a new hole and therefore it's going to be usser? Are you just doing it like in a nice way? You're doing something which looks nice, but you don't really care for the opening necessarily, vishari, and therefore it would be okay. So when you cut open a barrel of the spirits, as if you're doing it, we look at it as if you're doing it for the sake of the opening, and therefore it's going to be aser. So Gemara says, don't we know that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can open it up with a sword? So Hassam Vaday La Ayn Yafika Machavin, there it's clearly you're doing it for the sake of the guests, so Hacha, and therefore it will be okay. Hacha, because I guess it's a nice way to do it, or it's some kind of, you know, generous way. I don't know what exactly it means. When you're breaking it open with a sword, I guess that's some kind of honor. I don't know. But the Gemara then says, Im Isa al Hacha, if it was the case by the spear, so Im Isa de la'in yafika machavin, if you're doing it so nicely for the guests, lifteche miftach. So then you should have opened the top of the barrel by taking away the covering, or the, here it says the plug. By piercing it and only making a hole, it shows that he wanted it to be a small hole, as opposed to a bigger hole, which is normal. And therefore, we say that that perforation is for the sake of making the opening, and therefore, it's going to be usser. So the Gemara then continues, Ein nokvim gufin, you cannot make a hole inside of the plug. Amar Rav Huna machlokas lamala. This machlokas is only when you're doing it on the top of the plug, or on top of the hole, meaning not necessarily in the plug, but on top of the plug, in terms of where the plug is on the barrel. Aval min hatzad divrei kol aser, but if you're going to make a hole in the side, so that would be aser. Behind it, the katayin olik venu mitzida. That's what it means when the Mishnah says, "Don't make a hole on the side," because that's a normal way for people to do it, as opposed to doing it on top is not a normal way. Rav Chista amar machlokes min hatzad val gaba divrei kol matzer. Rav Chista says, no, the machlokes is all on the side, but on top, everyone says it's okay because it's an abnormal way to do it. Rashi says, it's a different way. When it says don't pierce it from the side, that's referring to the barrel itself. And when it says what we're talking about is doing it on the side of the plug. That's when it is a machlokas, whether you can actually pierce the plug itself. You're not allowed to make a new hole on Shabbos. But if you're going to simply extend the hole on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to extend the hole. And some people say you're not allowed to even extend it. And everyone agrees that you'd be allowed to reopen or re-pierce an old existing hole. So the Tanakam who says you're not allowed to make a new hole, presumably when you're extending the hole, you're widening the hole, that's also going to be a tikkun, that's also going to be fixing the hole. So why is there a difference? So Amar Rabba, Devar Torah kol pesach she'enu asur lachnas lo'otzi enu pesach. When it comes to making holes, it's only a problem if you're making a hole which is for the entrance of something and the taking out of something. However, in this situation, you're not really putting anything back in the barrel through this hole. You're only taking things out of the hole. And therefore, this is already not going to be an Issur D'oraisa. However, Rabbanan hu degazu mishum lo shel tarnagolim, we don't want to allow you to make a hole for the sake of the barrel, lest you come to make a hole for other things, like making an entrance and exit for a chicken coop. So the Gemara says, "Avla yuli avira lafuke havla," which itself is, well, it's itself for the sake of the airflow. So the Gemara says, "V'im bala hosif mosif." If, however, it's coming to extend it, so that's not a problem. Asufi v'adav b'loshal tarnagolim lo asila sufe. When it comes to making a hole and extending it, so you're not going to come to extend it inside of the chicken coop. Rashi says, because you're worried about the things that are going to get in there. Hold on. Well, Rashi doesn't say that. But a person doesn't come to do it. I think that's what we're going to say soon, maybe.
It's the first two words on Amud Beis.
Oh, Mishum Rikhsha. There you go. Hadn't turned the page yet. Rishum Rikhsha, because of the stuff that gets into the barrel, it gets stuff that gets into the coop, you don't want them. Rashi says, Shalai Kanish Bosharitz Kagon Nimia, Vichulda Shemimisim, Mr. Tarnagolim. You don't want different creatures to get into the chicken coop, which are going to ruin which are going to kill the chickens. Vish Orma In Mosifin Zindalo Takami Karavasler Khurabe. And then some say that you can't even extend it because there are some times where maybe you made the chicken coop hole too small and you want to extend it even the chicken coop, and that would create also an isser. So that's where the machlokas comes from. Darish Rav Nachman, Mishur Rabbi Yochanan, Hachgesh Omer, that Rabbi Yochanan paskins that we do like the Yesh Omrim, and you're not even allowed to extend a hole. So Vishavin says the Gemara, Visham Shineka, Shinok Vin Nekev Yashan Lachachila. You're not allowed to, everyone agrees that you are allowed to reopen a previous hole. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shainu El Makum Ha'asu L'Shamer. We're only talking about a hole which is used for the sake of preserving. Not to preserve, to strain. Okay, it's not as however, if it was made l'chazik, so if it was made to reinforce, so that would be aser, because that's helping it, not simply protecting the, I guess, to protecting, maintaining it. So the Gemara says, "Hechidam l'shamer, hechidam l'chazik." How's that possible? So Amar of Chisel l'mal min hayayin. If the hole that you make is above the wine, and you're sort of, I don't know, airing it out, zel l'shamer l'matz min hayayin zel l'chazik. If the hole is under the water, under the wine liquid line, so then you're, that's going to be considered to be mechazik it, because then you're going to make a hole. I think then you're going to plug it up to make it a better seal of some kind. Maybe I think it's a bad seal. Maybe Rashi says sheyachzik haklish lo yaseyinu hol v'stima ma'al yasahi ki hader nakiv le hava kaposeach lechachila. Okay, that's why it's a problem. Either way, I think that's the idea. But either way, Rava Amar Lamatzman Ayay Namizel Lashamer. Rava says no. Even underneath the water, when it's in the space of the actual wine, so that's also going to be considered to be straining the wine, and not necessarily to be reinforcing it. V'hechidam Lachazik. How would he understand Lachazik? Kegon Shenikva Lamatzman Ashmarim. That's only if you are making the hole underneath the sediment, which is going to help it. Make it stronger. I don't know how. I don't understand exactly what's going on. But either way, the whole point is that the hole can't be that significant. It can only be l'shamer, to strain it, but not for the sake of making anything better. So Amalei Abayi L'Rava Tani Messiah L'Abayi Sasum Yishul Arba Amos Parsets Patzimav Emla Arba Amos. This is an interesting case. This is sort of basically a corollary case of something which retains its status as its previous identity, even though it's changed. So here it's talking about a door, and it really gets into some halachos of Erevin. But if you have a sealed up door, it's going to retain the status of a door for the sake of giving you extra room outside of the door. Whatever, we're not going to get into it because I don't understand it well enough. However, if you would take away the doorposts after you sealed it, so then Ein lo arba amos. You do not have that identity of a door anymore, and therefore it's not going to give you that same leniency. Applies to tuma. As long as it's a sealed door, so then it's only going to go out of the entrances, but if you broke the doorposts, it's not an entrance anymore, and therefore it's going to create it's going to make it as if it is like a hole, and it affects the whole thing. Okay, I'm not 100% sure about all that stuff, but it's the same type of concept that a door can retain its status even though it's sealed up. So the Gemara says, Guvta, just like the hole, retains its status as a hole, and therefore it's not a problem to
open the hole. So Gufta Rav Aser Shmuel Shari, when it comes to a reed which is used in the hole of a barrel to make a spout, so Rav says it's Aser and Shmuel says it's Mutter. So what does that mean? To cut the reed originally, that would not be okay. Dure, to put one back in when it fell down, that's always okay. We're talking about the first time where the reed was already cut, but now you have to put it in the barrel for the first time. Rav says you can't do it because he's worried that you're going to come to cut that reed in the beginning. And Shmuel, who says that it's okay, is not worried that you're going to come to cut the reed for the sake of doing it a different time. It's neither. The Mishnah said this is in accordance to another machlokas tanaim in Chosin Shvacher's Biyom Tov. You're not allowed to cut a tube on Yantavit Tzarech Lomim Shabbos, and of course you can't do it on Shabbos. Nafla, if however the tube was already there and then it fell down. In Machzir no Sabbath Shabbos, then you cannot put it back on Shabbos. In Tzarech Lomim Biyom Tov, you can't put it back on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshia make of Rabbi Yoshia says you're allowed to do it. Same type of thing of creating something for the food purposes. Rabbi Yoshia Ahai, what's Rabbi Yoshia going? Ile Marisha, if Rabbi Yoshia is going on the beginning part, Hakam Saki Mana, is Rabbi Yoshia really going to say that you're allowed to cut Shfoferis on Yantif? El Asefa. Tana Kama Nami, but if he's going on the Seifa, Tana Kama Nami Mishra Shikshar Shari. If he's going on the end of it, so then the end of it already said that you'd be allowed to, or maybe the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama apparently says that you're allowed to put a fallen tube back in its place. But here it's, I guess there's a different Tana in this Mishnah that we didn't see. Hold on. Nafla ein machzir no sab Shabbos. Ein tzarech lomim biyom tov. If it was already cut but fell, one may restore it to its place on Shabbos. I don't know. It says ein machzirin, but here the translation says you can. I don't know why that is. But that makes more sense in terms of the continuation. But either way, so if that was the case, the Tanakam already says that it's allowed. So the Gemara says, where is Rabbi Yoshe coming to say that it's okay? So where is he being makil? Ela dechaticha v'lo metakna ikubinahu. If you cut it and you hadn't yet put it back, if you hadn't put it there in the first place, that's when there's machlos. Marzav gazrina, marzav lo gazrina. Darsh Rabbi Shisha b'rei d'rava idi bin shmei d'rabbi Yochanan halach Rabbi Yoshe, we pass that you can put it back. Which is different about how we put this from how we pass in before, in terms of the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan says in terms of the making the hole, I think. Either way, so it's a little bit different. But either way, we're going to be Mako like Rabbi Yoshia for putting a reed or the tube back into the barrel it already existed in. Vim Haisen Akuvah, if it was already punctured. So then you can't cover it with wax. Mishcha, what about oil? Rav Aser Shmuel Shari, another Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Man da Aser Gazrin Mishum Shava. The one who says it's Aser, meaning Rav, says you're not allowed to do it, lest you come to do it also with wax. Uman da Shari, the one who says Shmuel, who says that it's okay, lo Gazrin, and we're not worried that if you do it with oil, you're going to come to do it with wax. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Chana, Rav Yosef Beperish, Amar Lo Mishmei de Rav Mishcha Shari. I heard explicitly from Rav that it's okay to use oil. So Amar Tavos Rishba, Amar Shmuel, Tavus, the hunter. I don't know who this person is, but always a good chizuk to see that common people are able to say their piece inside of the Gemara. So Amar Shmuel, he says in terms from Shmuel, Hai Tarfa Da'asa Aser, this myrtle leaf that you want to use as a spout inside of a barrel, so it's not, you're not allowed to use it. Even Shmuel said that. So my time of Rav Yemar Midifti Amar Gezer Mishum Marzev. I guess, we're not answering that question from Rav. I guess he just had different Masorah. He says you're allowed to use oil for the sealing up. So here we have Shmuel saying you're not allowed to use the myrtle leaf. So the Gemara says, why? Rav Yemar Midifti Amar Gezer Mishum Marzev. We're worried about Marzev. Which literally translates to a spout, but we'll see exactly what it means soon. Rav Ashi, Amar Gzera Mishum Mishem Yiktom, we're worried that he's going to cut it off originally, the myrtle leaf from its root on Shabbos, which we don't want you to do. My Binai, what's the difference? Ika Binai, Dekatim Imanach, the same type of thing, where it's cut off, and it's just sitting there. So, before we had said you're allowed to potentially make a spout on Shabbos if the reed was already cut also, so that's what it means here, that we're worried you're going to make a different spout, presumably. a more substantial one. So the Gemara says, Beisadja, when it comes to felt cloth, this is another machlokas Rav and Shmuel. When it comes to the felt cloth, we have another machlokas Rav Asur Shmuel Shari. Rav says that it's Asur, Shmuel says it's okay. This felt cloth can sometimes be used as clothing, and that's why we're wondering, is it considered clothing or not, or is it considered caring? So the Gemara says, Barachin, when it's soft, Zikuli Amalo Pligidishari, everyone agrees that it's going to be okay because it's used as cloth when it's so soft. Bekashin, if it's stiff, Kuli Amalo Pligidasar, everyone agrees that it's going to be asar. Ki Pligid Mitzai, when it's only somewhat soft. Manda Asar Mitzik Masoi, Manda Shari Lo Mitzik Masoi. So it's really just a judgment call about whether or not we consider somewhat soft felt to be something that people wear. And if it looks like it's something people don't wear, so we're going to be machmer according to Rav. V'hadar Rav lav b'ferish yitmar el miklal yitmar. And this chumra of Rav is not even something we know for sure that he said. We just learned it from a different story. El miklal yitmar, we implied it. Rav ikle lahu astrid lahavale l'ravcha. He went to this one place so there wasn't enough room inside of the court. Nafak yasub karmelis, so he sat outside with his talmidim in the karmelis, which is also midi rabbanan, to carry things. So isolay beisad, they brought him this felt. Lo yasub, he didn't want to touch it. He didn't want to sit on it. So man dechaza savrim shum de beisad yasur, and that's where we extrapolated the concept that maybe Rav says it's asur to carry this felt because he doesn't think that it's a legitimate thing to wear. So the Gemara says, Lohi, he says it's not true. To Rav Achruze Machruz Beisaj Ashari, he says explicitly that the felt is okay to carry, or okay to wear. Umishum Kvod Rav Yosenu Lo Yashavav. The only reason he didn't want to sit on it is because he didn't want to sit on a higher pedestal than other Rabbanim who were there. Maininu, what were the other Rabbanim there? Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. New Mishnah. Nosen Tafshul Toch Habora Bishvil Shei Shamar Vesamayim Ayafim Baram Bishvil Shei Sonu. Mishnah says you can't put a cooked dish inside of a pit. Why exactly that is, we'll see in a second. You're allowed to also put good water inside of bad water in order to insulate it, to make it cool. And similarly, you can put cold water into hot water, insulate inside of hot water so that it warms up. Misha, or stays warm. Misha nashu kele b'derech b'mayim, if your clothing gets soaking on your walk. So mahalach b'mayim v'enuchos, you can continue walking. You don't have to worry maybe about squeezing it out. Higi l'chatzach chitzona shotchan b'cham v'alol k'neged ha'am. You can take off your clothing and let it dry out in light of the sun, but not in front of other people, lest they think you're doing laundry. So Gemara says, why wouldn't you be able to put a pot of cooked food inside of a boar, inside of a pit? So Gemara says, no, we're worried that maybe you're going to come to flatten some of the divots inside of the pit. You can put good water inside of cold, bad water. So Gemara says, pshita, what would be the problem? Say if it's pshita. They say maybe because it's only to teach us the chiddush of the sefer, which is that you can put cold water into hot water, which presumably would heat it up. So the Gemara says, "Hanam pshita, you're not doing it to the extent you're going to cook it." So mahu detema, maybe you would think, mahu detema nigzer dilma us that's muna b'remetz kamash malan. Maybe you would make a gezera that you would. Come to cook it for real if you put it in cold, put it in warm water. So kamash malan that you don't have to worry about that. So Gemara says misha nashru when a person's clothing gets wet. We have a concept which is anything which is asr because of maris ayin. You're not even allowed to do it in private when no one else is watching. Why that's the case? It's a big discussion. But either way, the Gemara says Tanan, the Mishnah tells us our Mishnah just said you're allowed to take it off in the courtyard where as long as no one's watching. So if it's a problem, people watching, so he shouldn't be able to do it by himself either. So Gemara says no, that concept of things being asur because of maris ayin is actually that only being a problem in public or versus that being a problem also in private. The Gemara says is also a machlokas hanayim shotchem mecham the tana shot mechama. Rabbi Shimon said, even in private, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. Someone who cleans off their talis on Shabbos is going to be chayev midaraisa. The Gemara says, "Velo amran ela bechadati." You're shaking off the dust, basically. Avabatiki, if it's an older one, where it's already a little dirty, so leislanba, we're not so concerned. V'lo armon ala be'ukmi, we only say it by black clothing, which gets really ruined, and therefore you're going to make a big difference if you shake it off. Ava b'chivri v'sumki, would when it's white, and when it's red, leislama v'hu the kapit alayu, and that's also only in the case where they really care about the garment. It's very interesting, we're dealing with a chiyuv d'oraisa, and we're jumping to hemutter or aser, based on the clothing. Typically, we would have like a gezerah for other types of clothing. But either way, here we're not doing it. We're on to 147 here. Kuf Mem Zayin. So, Ulu Oklu Lepum Badisa, Chazar Rabbanu, the Kamenatsu Glimahu. He saw these rabbis, they were already shaking off their clothing. Amr, Kamachalan Rabbanu Shabbasa. You're violating Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, Amr Lehur of Yehuda, Yehuda says, Nefutsu Le'af. Hey, you can continue doing it in front of him. Anan Lo Kapinan Minu. We don't care about these garments. We just happen to be shaking them off, but really, we don't really care if they have dust or not. Abaye have a kamakame de Rav Yosef. Amarle havli kumtai. Bring my hat. The problem was that the hat had some dew on it. Chazdi ikatala ale have a kamachasim litzvei lemitzvile. So therefore, he didn't really want to give it to him because he didn't know if it was okay to take off the dew. So amarle nefutz shadi anan lo kapidin midi. You can take it off because I'm not worried about the cleanliness of the hat, and therefore it's okay to do it. Why is there not a problem of wherever the dew is going to fall? Maybe they're inside, maybe it's on top of a rock. I don't exactly know how that situation played out. But either way, the question was only if he cared about the hat. He doesn't care about the hat, and therefore you don't have to worry about the laundry. If a person takes a talus, not necessarily a talus, but a cloak, and you sort of scrunch it up and you put it on your shoulders to carry it, so that's going to be considered carrying. We're not going to say that's a clothing piece of clothing. It's going to be chayv d'oraisa for carrying in a public domain. Tana nami ha'achi l'braisa also says soch reksus hayotz v'talisos v'kabalz v'nachos ha'ksefan v'shabes chayav v'chata. Similarly, those people who typically carry these things in those ways on their shoulders and it's folded up on their shoulders, so that would be asur to carry it on Shabbos. And we're not using the merchants except for the fact the only reason they use the example of the merchants is because that's how they usually carry their stuff, just to give you a visual about it, what we're talking about. But really it applies to all people who wear that wear folded pieces of clothing on their shoulders. That would be asur to carry it because it's not really wearing it. Similarly, a shopkeeper who goes out with coins in his cloak is also chayv, that's going to be carrying, that's not going to be considered part of his garment. It refers to everybody, it's just the shopkeeper, that's a normal thing for them to do. So we use that example for that reference point. And the runners, who apparently have some kind of scarf that they used to wear, these are messengers that send messages back and forth, like Naftali was, the shevet that is. So messengers were allowed to carry these scarves around their shoulders, presumably because that's a normal way of dress. That applies to every person to wear a scarf. It's just normal for the runners to do so. That's why they used that reference. Right. So the namesake of the original Horkanus, Shiatsu Besudar Aksefu B'Shabbos, who had he walked out with a scarf around his shoulders on Shabbos. El shenima krucha lo be'etzbo, and he connected it to his finger so that lest it fall down, he wouldn't be carrying it, and he didn't want it to fall off, and therefore it would be considered like a real connected piece of clothing. Uchsheva davar levnechacham armo afil im neim krucha in im. Afilu ein nima krucha be'etzbo. Derash Rabbi Nachman, Rav Chisa Mishved, Rav Chisa Halacha, afavish ein nima krucha lo be'etzbo. You don't really have to connect it to your finger to make it a worthwhile and significant piece of clothing. It's already okay to just wear the scarf around your shoulders. The Gemara continues, Ula ikla be'asi varhini, bo minei malasos marzi b'Shabbos. Can you make a spout on Shabbos? Now this is going to be a different type of spout, but we're going to see it's a spout which is basically using it to hold together some of your clothing. So Amr Lahu Hachi Amr Rabbi Yilai Asulas Marziv Shabbos. You're not allowed to make this type of spout on Shabbos. My Marziv, what is a Marziv? Amr Rabbi Zera Kisei Bavlaisa. It's this folding thing that they would do at the bottom of their cloaks to make sure that the clothing doesn't go down further and maybe drag on the ground. I'm thinking it's sort of like a cuff, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Either way, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Havi Yasu Kamid Rabbi Zera Amr Lehachim Ai. What about folding your clothing like this? Amar le'aser. V'achamai, what if folded like this? Amar le'aser. Amar of papa nakod ha'klal biyach. Here's the rule. Kol adat l'chanufi aser. Anything which is used for the sake of holding back your clothing, right, to gather in your clothing, so that's going to be okay. That's going to be aser. Kol dihlis now is any fold that you make, which is just sort of part of the clothing's appearance for the sake of beauty. That's going to be okay. Ki yadrav shisha braid rav idi misna besidino hava. He used to beautify himself with this scarf all the time that he would fold on his shoulders. So really, it's about function. If you're making something functional, it's a problem. If you're making something just for beauty, that's not a problem. Ki asr of dimi amar pam achas yasir rabbi lasade v'hayu shnei tzidei talisu mechon tsefo. He had two sides of the talis on his shoulders. Amar lefanav yashu ben zeres ben chamiv shal rabbi meir bezul ochiv rabbi meir chatas. Didn't rabbi meir says it's asr midaraisa to wear your talis like that, you know, scrunched up onto your shoulders. So Amrlei Dikdik Rebbe Meir Ad Kan, he says such a thing. Shilsha Rebbe Taliso, and therefore he unrolled it so that it would sit normally on his body, and therefore it would be okay. So Kiyas Raven Amr Lo Yeshub Ben Zeres Hava El Yeshub Ben Kfusai Hava Hayachasna Shel Rebbe Akiva Amr. Bezulochi Rabbi Kiva Chatas, Amalatik Rabbi Kiva Kan, Shilsha Rabbi Taliso. So same story, just with different characters, with Rabbi Kiva being the main paskin posik there. Ki Asa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Nishal Itmar. This was a question that was asked. It wasn't necessarily a story that happened. So the Mishnah says, New Mishnah Harotz Mima Harav Mitzvah Nistapik Afil Bez Harotz and Lo Yaviyo B'Yado Lo Yaviyo B'Yado. If you take a bath of some kind on Shabbos in these waters of the cave waters, and in the waters of Tveria, and you use even 10 towels, and therefore not so much water, as we'll see, Lo Yaviyo B'Yado, you're still not allowed to carry them in your hand, lest you squeeze some of the water out. If there are 10 people, even if it's using one towel, which is going to make more water, so it's going to be okay because you have the checks and balances of other people there. You're not going to be violating Shabbos. We're not worried that you're going to come to do it. So you're allowed to anoint yourself with oil, and you're even allowed to rub the oil into your skin. You can't have a deep massage with the oil. You can't scrape off the oil on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go into a river or a swamp or on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to cause yourself to vomit. And you're not allowed to reorganize the bones of a child, which we've seen before, but we'll see how it's different. And you can't put that back a broken limb. Someone whose bones became dislocated, you're now allowed to put it into cold water, which is usually how they would put it back into place somehow. I'm not sure how that works. You can use normal water normally, but you cannot. But if it heals by itself, so then it heals by itself. Should we stop here? Let's just do the first part just to get onto the next Amud. Gemara says, "Katani mi'ma'ara dumi l'me'feria ma'me'tveria chamin af mi'ma'ara chamin." This situation, the reason he uses the example of the cave waters is because it's like Tveria waters, which is warm. Harochets dieved in if you happen to wash yourself. So that's what we're talking about. Chachilolo, but typically you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to bathe in these waters originally. But it does imply that rinsing one's body by pouring water onto it, but not by dipping into the bath, that would be okay. So Rabbi Meir says you can't even wash yourself off. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. Rabbi Huda Omer, b'chamin aser b'tzonim mutzer. A person could do it with cold water, but they couldn't do it with hot water. Less to come to do something else. Okay, so Mir Tashem, over Shabbos, I will hopefully, continue after Shabbos. I'll record for Kuf Mem Zayin and for Kuf Mem Ches Shkayach.